Let's talk some Bruins hockey. To do that, we turn to our inside guy, Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Rich, what's going on?
Well, my goodness, it's been quite a week for the Bruins. Not completely surprising, because the last time you were on with us, you certainly suggested that this was a possibility, but still, even though it didn't come out of the blue, a shock to the system to see Bruce Cassidy gone.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was somewhat shocking in the sense of we had met with Don Sweeney 3 weeks ago, and he had talked about sort of where the team was going and didn't really give any indication that they were going to make a change there. I think at the very worst, you thought, okay, there's going to be a short leash here. You know, maybe Cassidy has 20 games, and then they're going to go from there. But I didn't see this one coming, just based on what we knew and what we heard, and just looking at the overall scope of things. I didn't necessarily think that this was a change that would make them better, and seeing what I've seen and knowing what I know, I don't think it does make them better.
So what was the rationale for a team that obviously had some holes on the roster to blame this one on the coach?
Yeah, they're looking at this sort of thing that they need to develop talent more. They need a new voice, to which I would say, sure, maybe, but you also need talent to develop said talent. I don't think the Bruins have had that. I look at their drafting from 2015 through 2018. I use that time frame because that's when those players should be in the NHL by now, and the Bruins haven't done a good enough job there. Their second best forward developed out of that group, the group of 14 forwards they've drafted, is Trent Frederick, who plays in the third line, borderline fourth line role for this team. So that's on the GM. That's on the scouting. That's not on the coaching. So, you know, I look at what Cassidy has done, and I say I've seen the guy who's performed above expectations for 5 years. I look at Sweeney and I say, there's a guy who's left a lot on the table. So it was clear that something had to change. It feels as if the Bruins had to pick between management and coaching, and management will never fire itself, so they chose the coach.
So how far up the food chain did this go? Was it a Cam Neely decision? Was it an ownership decision?
Well, the front office brain trust made their pitch to ownership, and they got the blessing of ownership to make that change, and now comes seeing what the next change is, because I'm really curious to see where they go here with coaching. Based on what they've said, based on what they want, I think they're going to trend younger with this next hire. I think they're going to trend towards a more player-friendly coach, perhaps, or a guy that they think is a more effective communicator for rookies and younger players. So that's where I look at some of the minor league options, some of maybe the top assistant options currently on the market, and they'll go from there.
Well, we're talking with Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub. You wrote about some of those likely candidates, and when you talk about young guys, some interesting names. Let's start with the Toronto assistant, Spencer Carberry.
Yeah, Spencer Carberry actually has a bit of experience with the Bruins organization. He was an assistant on their province staff in 2016-17. Really sort of what I've gathered on him is that he's a attack mentality as the coach. He's run Toronto's power play last year for the Maple Leafs, the best unit in the league, a unit that went from being stagnant to highly, highly productive. Players seem to like him. He's on the younger side. I believe he's 40 years old. Before Toronto, he was a head coach with the Hershey Bears, which, if you know the AHL at all, Hershey is like a factory. They've always been competitive, or at the very least, you know, they've hung around and developed some talent. So a guy with some experience there, knows how to communicate to players, and has some NHL experience as recently as this year, obviously.
Another young guy that the Bruins know well, Jay Leach, a possibility.
Yeah, Jay Leach is actually, I would probably consider him the favorite right now, based on there was a lot of people within the organization who were bummed to lose Leach to the Seattle Kraken last year. They thought they had more time. You know, I first heard about this when Leach got interviewed for the Arizona job for the Coyotes. There were people who were like, really hope he doesn't leave, because he's a good guy to have in our organization. And he's the guy that I think they originally pegged as the eventual Cassidy replacement. Now, that didn't happen, obviously, when he went to Seattle. So now maybe the Bruins look at this as a chance to sort of make good on that and to bring in Jay Leach.
Another possibility you discussed has ties here. He was an assistant at Maine many years ago, Nate Lehman, who's done such a great job at Providence.
Yeah, Nate Lehman is a guy that I love his program in Providence. I think he's done a fantastic job building that. You know, they play a hard-nosed style, a gritty style. He demands accountability, but his players love him. You know, I'm talking to players who have played for him, do play for him. They just love the way he approaches the game, the way he thinks the game. Now, the problem with Nate Lehman that I've since learned since writing this is that he recently signed an extension with Providence. Now, can he get out of that for an NHL gig? I would have to see the contract personally, but I think that's an option. But maybe with him signing that extension, he's more committed to the Friars than NHL opportunities at this point in time.
Who are some of the other guys that may be possibilities for the job?
You know, David Quinn is a guy that I think would make some sense for the Bruins. Was the head coach of the Rangers, former head coach at BU. So he coached Grizzlick and McAvoy as well. You know, he's not quite on the younger side, but he's younger and experienced, right? So and his college experience makes you think that he can maybe communicate with younger players at an effective level. And that's something that maybe they pick McAvoy's brain and say, what do you think of him? You know, do you think he could be a help to our organization? So David Quinn is the guy that I think, you know, could get some interest. Bradley Trotz, I'm not sure if the Bruins would want to go this way, but if they're not committed towards a slight retool or a slight rebuild, whatever they want to call it, Barry Trotz is a guy who is known to get the most out of his teams defensively, and they are competitive. They will get there. They will get to the second or the third round. Now, will they win it? You know, he's only done it once, 2018 with Washington, but he's a guy that I think can make a roster better than it looks on paper, which may be a requirement given where this team is right now.
So when you take a look at management and the roster as it currently is made up, is this an attractive job to potential head coaches?
You know, that I think that depends on what kind of coach you are. So that's why, you know, I mentioned Trotz. I mean, does he look at this roster and say, I want to do that? You know, he's had some success here, a taste of success with the Capitals and the Islanders. I don't know if he wants to be part of a rebuild or a retool, right? And especially when he has sort of his pick of the litter of options. Is the co-headliner of this freezing class of coaches. So I don't know if Boston is more attractive than, say, Vegas, for example. Maybe even Winnipeg, right? You look at the way that Winnipeg is built defensively, especially Trotz is a guy, he's from Winnipeg, right? So that may factor in as well. So I don't know if it's as attractive as it was, say, 2 years ago, but that's why I think another reason why they may trend younger, because it's going to be an experience for everybody involved.
Do you think the firing of Bruce Cassidy has any impact on whatever decision Patrice Bergeron makes?
No, I don't. I think for Patrice, it's for himself, and it's really what he wants to do with his family, what he wants to do in terms of carrying the load of this franchise. I think that's the biggest factor. I think that for Patrice, he's played so many games. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's won a gold medal. He has 5 Celtics. There's little for him to sort of prove still at this level. And I think for him, it's about winning a Stanley Cup. And if he doesn't feel like this roster is built to win a Stanley Cup, he's not going to come back. It doesn't matter if it's Cassidy, Claude, Jay Leach, you know, anybody. For him, it's about, do I have to carry the weight of the franchise on my shoulders for 82 games and then a full playoff run? So I think he needs to see what the Bruins are doing as a team, and he needs to see how he feels physically if he's up for the challenge of carrying that weight once again.
So once they get a new coach in the fold, what's the first priority in addressing the roster?
This team needs another center, and they need another high-impact center. And I think so that's where I look at that's got to be the first move here, because there's no one in the pipeline that's really charging and saying, I need that job, I want that job. You know, Jack Spanika has really sort of plateaued here. I don't really see it with him. I don't think he is the top prospect that he was 2 years ago. I don't think you can throw your eggs in that basket and hope that he is that guy. The free agent market does have some options. Malcolm Kadri is one. Vinny Trocheck, who the Bruins know well from the Carolina series, is another. You have Ryan Strome in New York. Even Evgeny Malkin, you know, with Pittsburgh, he's a free agent. So they have some options there in terms of addressing that, as well as a trade block will have some names on as well. So I think that's got to be order number one for the Bruins, and then you see where it goes from there. But the cap space situation is the tricky part for Boston, especially with David Pastrnak due a massive contract next summer.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, about 3 or 4 times at least in this postseason, I've thought the Tampa Bay Lightning were done. I should have known better. You can't seem to put them away. And here they are back tied up with the Rangers 2-2. I wouldn't bet against them going forward.
No, absolutely not. And what makes that team so impressive to me is the way they respond after losses. And seeing them lose two in a row, I couldn't believe it. So what do? They rattle off, you know, two victories in a row of being down 2-0. So that speaks to what the kind of team they have. Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the world. For me, it's not even a close second. So I just watch that team's mental toughness, the way they do it. They're going to have to win one on the road, but I wouldn't bet against them based on what we've seen so far. So just the mental toughness of that team is next level. And it starts with their coach, and from there it starts in net. And I think that, you know, losing in 2019 for them was the absolute wake-up call that has now created this monster that nobody can seem to vanquish.
Do you think whoever wins this Eastern series will be the favorite against the Avs?
No, I got to go Colorado there. I look at it, this team, they've only lost to one team for three rounds, and that's St. Louis. That's just unbelievable to think about. So their skill and speed is unbelievable. They should get Darcy Kemper back. We'll have to see with Nazem Kadri what he's looking like, but I still think Colorado is my favorite. For the Stanley Cup final, just based on, they are just so quick, and they can turn a game on its head before you even wake up. It's kind of like, you know, the NBA with the Golden State Warriors, where when they're clicking, they can drop 20 points on you in 2 minutes flat, and you're like, what just happened? And that's kind of how I look at the Colorado Avalanche in terms of their speed and skill.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Well, we should know there is no off season for the Boston Bruins, Ty, so we appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon, and I am sure we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Oh, I'm sure there's another firing or a signing or a big trade, and I can't wait for us to talk about that.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Ty.
Anytime.
Ty Anderson with us here on Downtown.